Love the sound of that music. None of that heavy metal rock and roll in your face. Wake up! Kind of music we played last week. This is the music we're supposed to play.
Welcome, ease you into your day.
Welcome to the Frederick Faith Debate. On WFMD, where we always play easy, relaxing favorites.
I'm finding myself not liking the show right now.
And are sure to talk over your music. I'm Troy Skidder. This is Frederick Faith Debate on Frederick's News Radio 930 WFMD. Joined this week, as always, by Jonathan Schweitzer, senior pastor at Crossroads Valley Chapel. And again this week by our lead-in. And praise the Lord for such a strong lead-in.
Exactly.
Pastor Paul Mundy, senior pastor at the Frederick Church of the Brethren and host of the Time of Challenge, which airs immediately before this show. Right. If you missed it, get up earlier next week.
Constituting from 8 to 9, the most listened to hour of WFMD.
Repeat our ratings
on Saturday.
Yeah, I mentioned last week. Yeah. I probably shouldn't have because every week now Jonathan's going to make me bring it up.
That's right. Tell me that story again about how great we are.
But according to the Arbitron ratings research, the 8 a.m. hour on Sundays is the most listened to hour of the day on WFMD.
Wow.
So. I'm sure it's a testament to Paul.
Absolutely. Our program starts it off.
It would probably be the most listened to hour of the whole week if it weren't for us bringing the numbers down.
That's right, right, right.
And then the 8 to 9 hour on Sunday mornings actually is not only the strongest hour on Sunday, but actually beats some of the big name shows that air during the week. It beats
unbelievable.
Beats Beck.
Beats Glenn Beck. Beck. It beats Michael Savage.
Unbelievable.
And so that makes us.
But not Rush, right? Not Rush.
No, we don't beat Rush.
Okay. Just checking.
If Glenn Beck heard that, his head would be about to explode. He needs his duct tape.
Well, I think Glenn Beck's had to say, third most listened to radio program on WFMD something like that.
That's right.
But anyway.
I love it.
So,
if we're not careful, he's going to pull it from the radio station.
Last week, we definitively answered the question of whether or not animals go to heaven. And this week, we're going to equally definitively answer the question about whether it's appropriate to have your body cremated. Now, it's interesting that this question, that we would have stumbled upon talking about this question in lead up to this show, because just a few weeks ago, somehow the idea of, I guess my family's morbid, I don't know, but the idea of what to do when my mom dies came up.
Well, that's not morbid.
And my mom was saying to me, I don't know, I'm thinking maybe I would just want to be cremated because that's going to be easiest cheapest and blah, 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 and I want to be a burden on everybody. But I don't know. I mean, is it a sin to be cremated? And
she asked that question?
She asked that question. And so we talked about it for a while, and I'll share my answer later in the program, but I want to hear from you well-studied, distinguished pastors.
Well, it's very appropriate because cremation, I mean, it's on the rise. If we had a funeral director here this morning, I mean, they would indicate that more and more people now are opting for this. And rightly or wrongly, part of what I hear is it's just the economics of it all. That I think it's appropriate we're talking about this morning because the biblical or the theological part of this is not where people begin. I think that as people are aging and kind of thinking about, well, life's over anyhow, they're probably more worried, if the research is correct, in terms of how much something's going to cost, even kind of their final, arrangements, as opposed to what Scripture would say or what God would think on this.
And so, if we make these decisions based on pragmatic purposes, we end up with Soylent Green. Remember that movie from the 70s?
Right.
If you're not familiar with the movie from the 70s, that's like maybe 72-ish, something like that, I want to say.
You've entered into the great void in my background.
But without giving too much away, because I know everyone will run out and rent Soylent Green now.
Yes.
But basically, there's an overpopulation problem, there's this aging problem, and because of the overpopulation, there's kind of a famine issue. So they decide to kill two birds with one stone, so the aging are assisted basically into death. Mm-hmm. And then once they die, they're bottled up and canned up and become food products on store shelves.
Wow. Are you serious?
It will be interesting to know how many rush out to get that
for
movie,
all of that
Troy,
nice music
be,
that opened the show. We just totally
say, we're headed south here quickly, yeah. I guess. But really, we talked a lot in the last program about elderly and the dynamics in terms of an aging culture, which probably with the baby boomer population being one of the largest in recent history and the aging, that's going to involve pretty rapidly here. And the fact we are in a recession here, increasingly people are becoming incredibly efficient and pretty pragmatic about all choices, including, I think, this choice as well. The trend is going in this direction. I think what we're trying to really ascertain this morning, because we're in a faith debate here, is what does God think on this whole thing?
So I was asking before the show, where does the idea that being cremated is somehow wrong come from? And I can't
find anybody that would tell me.
Well, a lot of people will go back. They'll go to the whole idea of the last days and the resurrection of the dead. And there's the general sense that, you know, if I destroy my body through cremation, or if my, you know, form and frame are literally destroyed in this way, that then it's a violation of what is to happen at the very end of time, where, you know, there's the resurrection of the body. So it gets a little technical in terms of kind of where you come out.
You know that's fascinating. The reason why that's fascinating to me is because the closest passage that I can find in Scripture that talks about ashes and death and dead bodies is talking about the Valley of Kidron, the Kidron Valley next to Jerusalem,
right.
where it says that they would put the dead bodies in ashes.
Huh.
So dead bodies and ashes are thrown in that particular valley. And it's interesting, if you've ever been to the Kidron Valley, to the Valley of Jehoshaphat, right? It's right up on the side of the Mount of Olives,
right?
So the valley between Jerusalem and the Mount of Olives is Kidron Valley. And you know what's there? Thousands upon thousands upon thousands of graves.
Right.
Everybody wants to be there when Christ puts his feet down on the Mount of Olives when he returns. Everybody wants to be like the first one that gets to see him and touch him when they rise from the dead.
Right.
So it's interesting that you put that issue together. I'm vaguely aware of there being a pagan ritual of burning the kings of old.
Right.
You know, you picked up a little bit of this in The Lord of the Rings, you know, where he was going to die and be burned like the kings of, you know, the pagan kings of old.
Right.
You know, there is a sense that maybe the church at some point reacted to that, but I'm unaware of any doctrine through church ages that talked about cremating as being bad. And so,
well, there might not be any passages that speak negatively, but I mean, by the way, for the record, so that doesn't be too awkward for me to share, I ended up counseling my mother that I couldn't think of any biblical reason why she couldn't be cremated if that was her wish. And, you know, so that's where I ended up on that. However, that said, I mean, you can't build a negative case, but I think you could try to build a positive case. In the, you know, there's lots of stories about death and burial in the Old Testament.
Right.
Lots of cases where it was important that the bones be removed from the tomb and relocated to the promised land and things like that. So there was this idea of hanging onto the body. Right. There's one example where I think Saul, because his sons had been mutilated in war, they ended up, I think, burning the bodies, but they saved and buried the bones. So you can start to build a positive case that the biblical, at least in the Old Testament anyway, the biblical norm is burial. And since there's no mention of cremation, the biblical norm is burial, that maybe we should hedge on the safe side and let's not risk. We know burial's okay.
Right.
We're not real sure about cremation, so let's just play it safe. That could be part of it. The other thing is, think about in the early years of Christian persecution, and Christians were burned at the stake things like that, and there was a negative association perhaps. And so, you know, and then the idea that maybe the body is the temple. And
In fact, the catacombs were, you know, they really went out of their way to bury you know, the bodies of those that had died in the catacombs, you know, where the Christians hung out.
Very much so.
And so it seems to me, okay, well, let's follow that out. My biggest concern is that when somebody has passed away, that there be a memorial. You know, that there be, like if your mom, you know, when she passes, that there be a place where you can go to, you know, just to remember her, you know, to memorialize her.
Sure,
and so when they're buried, there's a stone you can go, whatever's on the stone, you know, that whole sense of, you know, what's your stone going to say? I feel like that it's important to us as a culture, and I don't know that I could say why biblically, but maybe, you know, part of what you're saying, that we could remember Troy Skinner when he had gone on, and that his life counted for something, you know, and that we find ways to remember and to appreciate, you know, what that life meant. It seems to me like those kinds of things are valuable, but again, I can't say that I know a place in Scripture for that.
Now, and you can have a memorial and remember somebody in that without having the body in a casket. You can do that with an urn.
Yeah, well, the irony of this is that oftentimes in apologetics, when we're talking about how we differentiate between world religions, oftentimes it's said Christianity is the only religion, you know, whose founder does not have a grave.
Yeah.
And so it's not to contradict what Jonathan's saying necessarily, but the irony
that's an interesting twist.
But that we are called, you know, essentially as Christians to have faith in Christ.
In the resurrection,
and that it's not dependent on going and finding the tomb
Amen.
Of Jesus. But supposedly every other leader of every other world religion, you can go and visit their burial site, and that indeed it is a part of religious ritual, I guess, in terms of actually practicing that religion and venerating, you know, the founder or whatever. But that's not to say that, you know, other than Christ himself, you know, in terms of not having a burial place, it doesn't mean that for believers that it isn't value, because you know, throughout the Old Testament and New Testament, you know, all kinds of memorials were built, all kinds of places of remembrance, you know, were lifted up and sanctified as being critically important to faith in that way. I think in some ways the awkwardness of cremation for many believers is this idea that the body itself is the temple for the Holy Spirit, and that the body itself, they go back to creation, it's the idea that we've been formed and shaped, you know, by God himself, you know, out of the earth, out of the clay, and all that type of thing. And though you can very quickly then jump and say, but the essence of that is being a living soul rather than your physical form and frame, you know, there's a lot in Scripture in terms of, you know, not dishonoring your body and the whole idea of purity, you know, whether it's sexual purity or whatever. So it's kind of like this tension between valuing the body and the need for purity and holiness in that way, but then also then this idea that primarily, you know, we are not what we see in terms of our form and frame. We're primarily this sense of soul that God has created, because that's what's created in the image of God. It's not our physical form and frame.
Right. And so that gets me thinking about how the Egyptians were so concerned about entombing the body, yes, making sure that they had this huge memorial, you know, so that they would live forever. You know, they just found one down in a Mayan temple, you know, somewhere down in South America. Just recently, they found that the temples actually had major tombs to the king, and they'd never found those previously, and that was a big deal. And they found some dead children that it looks like were killed mm-hmm. at the death of the. Anyways, all that's off to the side. You know, the point is that we don't want to go there. Yeah. You know, we're somehow preparing the body for this afterlife.
Absolutely.
Because clearly that's not the case. And yet, on the other side, it seems like it is important to memorialize. You know, it even draws my attention to all the lists of the genealogies in the Bible where you're remembering that this guy did this and this guy did
Absolutely.
This, you know, that it's important to remember and to write.
Well, we'll have bodies, the Bible says, on the other side in heaven.
Right.
The believers will have resurrection bodies, but they're not the same bodies. Right. There's something different and supernatural about those bodies. And I wonder, part of, you know, the idea could be, well, I got to make sure my body is ready for God to make.
I know, but that would almost wig me out. Oh, no.
But if you wait.
I ruined it. God can't put it back. All the king's horses and all the king's men.
If you wait long enough, though, eventually the body will decompose into dust anyway.
Anyway, right.
You're
right.
Just speeding along the process.
And then, Troy, you're onto something, because that's the primary case, I think, for cremation, because essentially it's going to happen anyhow, through the natural process that God has designed in terms of dust returning to dust. I mean, in other words, we are formed out of dust, and that's where it's not necessarily in the Bible, but it's the classic phrase, ashes to ashes, dust to dust. And I think that's where it comes from, that in essence, whether you're cremated or whether your body is placed in the casket and it decomposes, it's the same difference. We will indeed return to dust, and that is God's design, the way he designed us.
He's Paul Monday, senior pastor at the Frederick Church of the Brethren, joined this week by my colleague, partner in crime, senior pastor at Crossroads Valley Chapel, Jonathan Schweitzer. I'm Troy Skinner. This is the Frederick Faith Debate on Frederick's News Radio, 930 WFMD. I'm wondering if the argument wouldn't have come from the pages of Scripture, but I don't think you can make an argument, a real strong argument from the pages of Scripture that you shouldn't be cremated. So what's the psychology going on there? And part of it is, I think there's kind of almost a pop culture idea that as long as the body's still there, you're not really dead yet. Really? You know? That's what people
mean,
have
like,
their...
Like your ghost is out there somewhere?
Yeah, somehow you're still alive. You know, you're not dead yet. I mean, you're dead, but you're not really dead. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, Walt Disney has his body frozen. Because, well, as long as he's frozen,
that's right.
He's not really dead.
Or, yeah.
You
or,
know, it's
or,
the same
or,
idea.
Or Lenin. Lenin's tomb.
Right.
You can go and actually see,
the
body.
You know, you know, same thing that happens at wakes. You know, where open casket wakes and stuff, and the body is there, but it's not the person. And yet, so often we find ourselves... Mm-hmm. treating and respecting that mm-hmm. that body as the person, as the living soul, as the as that entity that we loved so much. But it's not you know, it's not. It's the body that contained the person. The person,
but you're not saying that we should disrespect the body.
No. But I'm wondering if there's this fear, like, oh, I don't want to be cremated because then I'm really dead.
And you're really dead. There's nothing left.
I'm really dead then. You know, at least before I decompose, maybe something could happen. Maybe Jesus can call me out of the tomb like he did Lazarus. Something can happen. But cremation, boy, that has the ring of finality to it.
Yeah, there's the finality to it. And then it's just a little morbid to say this, but you just think about the actual kind of process of that. And it's the idea, you know, that just the thought of going through that. So it's a much more peaceful, settled thing to think, well, I'm just going to lie down. I'll be laid in a grave, and there's more of a mellow sense about that. Whereas the whole idea of, you could almost say it's such a violent kind of thing, it's such a horrific kind of thing, that I think for a lot of people it just is not. It's not the idea of passing on. The idea of passing on, or of your final moments, or of dying, or whatever, and eternity has more of this peaceful sense of living on with God, and let's put it this way, it's the rest in peace kind of motif. Whereas when you're talking about cremation, you don't think rest in peace. You know, you think there's a whole different metaphor.
Right, and it's interesting. Actually, I had forgotten this. You know, maybe it's pardon the secular humanist slant on this phrase, but it might be Freudian. How old would I have been? I was in my early teens or preteens. I can't remember exactly how old I was now. Between 10 and 14, when my grandfather on my father's side of the family passed, and he was cremated.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And I remember at that age wondering. I might have been like 10 or 11. Now that I think about it exactly. But anyway, I remember thinking at that age, like, does it hurt?
Exactly. That's what I'm saying.
Is he like experiencing pain right now? I mean, he's being burned.
That's right.
You know. That whole idea of he's not really dead yet. Well, you know what I mean?
Exactly. See, and so a lot. Yeah, there's a lot of, I think, mystery in a sense, or even fear of just the whole process that's involved. And
all of which is just the fear of death. I mean, that's what we're talking
about.
Well,
yeah, sure.
We're afraid to die. And so talking about what we're going to do with the body afterwards, you know, is just a little bit, it wigs us all out because we're going to have to die. We got to deal with this question that at some point, you know, it's appointed to man wants to die and then the judgment, the finality of it all.
But that's okay, right?
So maybe that's the psychology.
It's okay to be afraid to die, though, right?
Well, you know, the larger question, I'll just drop into the debate here is when I grew up in Hagerstown, it was a kind of a more liberal congregation. And part of that was that the clergy there would not conduct funeral services. They would only conduct memorial services. And the whole idea in terms of the difference there was that that the service is to be a celebration of life, and it's about the spirit of the person that is now living on with God in eternity, and that in that essence, in that instance, the body was almost immaterial. In other words, it really has little or nothing to do with the worship service itself. But coming back to Frederick now, 14 years ago, the slant is primarily towards funeral services rather than memorial services. And at least in the services that I've participated in, not in a morbid way, I think, or an inappropriate way, but the body has a fairly central role. I mean, it's normally up front, in front of the sanctuary, et cetera, et cetera.
It's the star of the show.
Well, yeah, but when I was growing up, if the body got in the sanctuary at all, it was at the back of the sanctuary, but in a casket. But normally what would happen is the burial would happen prior to the memorial service, and we sort of got that out of the way, got the body out of the way, and then actually the actual religious service had nothing to do with the body. Hmm. So in some ways...
And so what's the theology behind that?
Well, exactly what we're saying, that primarily...
Yeah, but we remember at a funeral, you still memorialize and remember what happened. And,
yeah,
and,
but that's the point, that it's primarily we're remembering the soul, the spirit of an individual that really, in some respects, is not synonymous with the bodily form and frame, and that really that's what we're celebrating, and that the body, you know, is not the essence of
okay,
of
but
life.
This is where I'm confused about all that. Why would a more conservative congregation not also go the direction of memorial, whereas a liberal would?
I don't know, but I'm not getting. In some respects, you could say.
I mean,
that,
does a memorial service at the end of the day give the impression that okay, we're not so sure that they're going to heaven, but we're going to remember the spirit of the guy and who they were all about?
Yeah, you could slant
so
it that way.
I think
in terms of funerals and.
I don't mean to try to slant it that way. I mean, legitimately, do they think that way?
Well, in terms of my experience, it wasn't that, but I think you could go that way. But I think in Frederick County, the conservatism goes more with traditionalism. And I think traditionally that, you know, the body, you have a funeral service with the body. And frankly, traditionally, you don't cremate. But as Frederick County is changing, I think it'd be interesting if we had a funeral director here. Probably funeral directors would say that the county is getting a little bit more liberal or a little bit more trendy or whatever. And cremation is
we're
part
going
of,
south, get it? All those Montgomery County people are coming up here.
Well, whatever. Maybe they're bringing the cremation
we're going
up here.
South.
I don't know what it is. But here's the weird twist, if you want it. This borders on the morbid or whatever. But I think until recently, there wasn't even the capacity within the county to actually kind of execute kind of the whole act of cremation, that actually we had to go over to Washington County, and that's the only place where it actually could be done. Now, I think just recently a funeral home here in Frederick actually kind of has what you might call full service, you know, possibilities in that way. But it's really, I've been really surprised that people who I thought were very conservative and very traditional in every other aspect of their life in terms of not wanting much change were indeed open to cremation. And again, coming back to where I started at the beginning of the program, it's because of, I hate to say it, fiscal conservatism, that it is so much cheaper to be cremated.
It is nuts how expensive it is to be buried.
Yeah,
I mean, it's nuts.
And so I'm saying to
crazy
myself,
crazy expensive.
So maybe that's why everybody doesn't want to be cremated, because at the end of the day, they want to live on and they want to be among the rich. Even in death, they want to be buried among the rich that could afford a burial plot.
But here's something that I've learned just recently.
No, that's cynical, and I don't really believe that.
but actually,
would go too far.
The weirdest part that I just experienced recently in this regard, and again, the funeral home will not be named, but actually with the service probably being offered by all funeral homes, are specially made caskets that look like very expensive caskets, but in reality are not expensive at all, that are designed for cremation. So it's not just the traditional thought of that, but actually there is now kind of what you might call the best of both worlds, in the sense that you can actually present your loved one in a casket, but the whole idea is that it will not be buried, but it would be cremated.
That's what my wife and her brother had done with her father when he passed
away. Let me ask you, Jonathan, and if you're not comfortable answering the question, you don't have to, but have you thought about this? Have you decided? Do you want to be buried, cremated? What?
I'm very comfortable with the question. I honestly have never really thought about it. And at the end of the day, I certainly would not want what they do with my body, my dead body, to affect them financially in a negative way. And so I think I probably would tend, you know, just off the top of my head, I thought about it a little bit when you pitched it to me, but it's just not big enough maybe that I've really thought about it. Yeah. I know I'm going to heaven. You know, I know that they're going to go on. But the one thing that I think would affect me would be, okay, now that I've passed on, my wife and kids, you know, would be burdened with this great financial responsibility to get me buried somewhere.
Sure. Are you comfortable answering the question,
Paul? Yeah, for me, traditional. I would be, at this point, uncomfortable with the thought of creation. But I'm sitting here saying why. I don't really have a biblical or even a rational, is more of an emotional thing. So that's probably another subject.
Where's my grandfather just passed away a year and a half ago, and we buried him in upstate New York where he was, you know, born and grew up, you know, and so right there in town next to all the other Schweitzers, you know, that had been big part of that town through the ages. And it was interesting. I mean, it was pretty special to be there together. To watch the casket go into the ground, there's an emotional thing there of just, you know.
Well, the other thing, and I don't know where this fits in, but I think of the worst. This is horrible. The recent desecration that has happened to grave sites at Arlington Cemetery,
right?
And so, like, where does this fit into all this? In other words,
it's the dishonoring of the memory of the dead that is affected.
And I guess
by
maybe if you
want to
bottom line this, I mean, how much of a physical remain do you need to have in order to have a gravesite?
Yeah.
And are we really saying the bottom line is you need to have a gravesite that is honored and respected? Because I think really in terms of conversation, there's no debate about the fact everybody was absolutely devastated and horrified that whenever a gravesite is tampered with or violated.
Yeah.
And you think of the recent precedent in Arlington, I mean, I don't know all the stats on it, but it was absolutely horrendous.
It has to do with dishonoring the memory of the dead, and so therefore they're dishonored, you know, who they are.
Well, that's going to wrap the show. By the way, I'm thinking I want my body donated to science.
Oh, okay. We didn't touch on that.
No. So, didn't even get to that area. Saved it to the very end because I didn't want to go into that one too long. So, anyway. Jonathan Schweitzer, Senior Pastor at Crossroads Valley Chapel. And Paul Monday, senior pastor at Frederick Church of the Brethren and host of Time of Challenge here on WFMD. I'm Troy Skinner. Our show's been brought to us by Putman Plumbing and Heating. How can we make you smile? Visit us online, WFMD.com, keyword faith. Thanks so much for listening to the Faith Debate on WFMD. Until next week, 167 and a half hours away from now, God bless.
Putman Plumbing makes a living by servicing their clients' needs. They make their life by how they service their clients, from the first phone call to when they leave your home when the job is done. Putman Plumbing is dedicated to providing top-of-the-line quality work. Call Putman Plumbing. That's with a P, as in your preferred plumber.
Putman Plumbing, how can we make you smile?